at Evangelist Assembly of God in Eau Claire. So if you want to go, see me and I'll mark you down. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 38. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The command to love the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this evening. Lord, we thank you for your commands. Because, Lord, we can demonstrate our love to you and to others through these commands. We ask that you would give us insight tonight, Lord, and this, the greatest of the commands, to love you, and to love you with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The study question was, since Paul instructed Christians, unmarried Christians, to please the Lord, and married Christians to please their spouses, how then can a married couple love the Lord with all their heart and love their spouse, love their mate at the same time? That's the question. What comments do you have? What insights did you gain on that? Is there a way to do it? There has to be a way to do it, right? What's some of your thoughts? Very good. Very good. Excellent. Somebody else? Anything? Ditto?
Love has no bounds.
Love has no bounds. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep what? Keep my commandments. So that's one of the ways that we demonstrate our love for him, is by doing what he has commanded us to do. He's commanded us to love our husband, to love our wife, and so that's true as well. Anyone else with a thought?
We don't
divide our love, right? We don't say, oh, I have a complete love. Perfect love is 100%. So if I love God 50%, I love my wife 30%, that means I got 20% left to give in love. No, you're right. Our hearts are bigger. Our hearts are capable of loving more than one.
Well, I mean, the second half of that commandment is to love your neighbor also.
Yes.
And that includes everybody. So he is commanding us to love everybody.
That's right. Right. That's right. We love God. You know that little acrostic for joy? Jesus first, others second, yourself last. I think that applies to love too. Some people say, well, I don't love myself. But Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, so it's implied that you do. So, that's right. Anyone else? Okay, well, let's look at this command tonight, how we can love the Lord. As I said, Brian did a great job teaching this in Sunday school, so I don't know if there's anything left to add, but we'll maybe echo some of his thoughts and maybe say it in a little bit different way. But the first thing is to keep the greatest commandment. And a lot of times we think of keeping as obeying, and that's part of it. The other aspect of keeping is to keep it before us, to keep this idea of loving God before us, something that we need to keep coming back to time and time again and asking ourselves, do I love God like I should? A few days after his wedding, a young husband decided to take his bride to an elegant restaurant. They were seated, and soon an attractive young waitress arrived at the table. The husband looked up at her with obvious delight, engaged in a few moments of friendly conversation, and then ordered his meal. As the waitress walked away, the happy husband turned his eyes back to his wife and was startled by the change in her countenance. She looked hurt and grieved. "Honey," he said, "what's wrong?" "I saw how your eyes lit up when you looked at that waitress. That hurt me." He was confused. "Why should that hurt you? I was only trying to be friendly." That did little to comfort his distressed wife. She was hurt by the delight he had in another woman. Hadn't he just vowed before God that forsaking all others, he would love and cherish her with all of his heart? So a marriage is a union that there should not be competing affections. And it's same way with the Lord. He doesn't want us to have competing affections with him. He wants us to love him with all of our heart. And in fact, in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5, God said that he is a jealous God. Now, most of the time when we are jealous, that comes with some negative connotations. But God can be jealous in a positive and a righteous way. He doesn't want you to have affections that are outside of him. And so he's a jealous God. And just as a wife looks at the eyes of her husband when another woman is present, and to see if that woman catches his eye, I think God watches us. I think he watches our eyes to see if our eyes catch things that we're not supposed to be looking at. And when they do, God is a jealous God. And so thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now, I know that it's a difficult thing to do. I mean, just to read those words, to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, it's a difficult thing, isn't it? And it would be easier if he said, love me with part of your heart. But he says, love me with all your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. And I'll have to admit that although my love has been imperfect, his grace has been sufficient. And I would encourage you to view that on those lines as well and say, God, would you just give me the grace to love you like you want me to love you? If we try in our own strength, in our own abilities, we will fail. But if we rely upon his grace, that's the thing that he's looking for. His grace is sufficient. The second thing, love God with all your heart. Imagine a young man or a young woman who'd been training for years to enter into the Olympics as a runner. Every day, I know Brian ran track. I never did run track. But observing some of those who did, Brian, what time did you get up in the morning? Or did you run after, later?
For many years, I ran both.
Ran both. See, to me, I'd rather be in bed than up running. But he loved to run. He ran for the joy of it. So, but here's an athlete then. This is their life. This is what they have trained to do, to run into the Olympics. That competition would consume their thoughts and really their lives. And as the week of the Olympics finally draws near, how much time would that athlete devote to other things? To things other than running and the competition that he's going to be involved in. It's not much time. He doesn't have time for other interests. He's only got the one thought on his mind. Anything else is a distraction to his goal. So he has a single-mindedness, a single purpose, a single passion. And that's the way it is for the Christian. We are to be single-minded, not double-minded, single-minded, have a single eye, as Paul tells us. And that should characterize our love for the Lord. To love God is to maintain an ever-deepening search to discover and enjoy his true nature, character, and power. Jeremiah 29:13, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. See, it's in the half-heartedness, the casual interest in God that makes a person vulnerable to the attraction of worldly things. I don't remember the young people came back one year from camp and we sang a song we haven't sang it in years. I don't want to be a casual Christian. Remember that? Young people, do you remember that song? I don't want to be a casual Christian. I don't want to be an average Christian. What does it mean to be average anyway? I don't want to be average in anything, do you? I want to be above average. I want to excel. You know what I think another name for average is? Lukewarm. God said, I don't want you to be lukewarm. I want you to be hot or cold. Okay? So to love God with all of our hearts. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And Paul said, my one goal in life, this one thing I do, put everything else to the side, that I might know Jesus, that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. But it's this casual kind of love that would cause us to lose our first love for the Lord. And so David advises all who want to love God to seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore, Psalm 105, verse 4. What do you think it means to seek the face of the Lord? Have you heard that expression before? Seek the Lord's face. What does that mean, to seek the Lord's face? See, we use terms I think we don't always come to grips with what they really mean. Read his word. Marion?
To seek him, not just the things he could give us.
Okay, very good. To seek him and not just the things that he can give us. To read his word, Glenn said. Anything else? Seek his face. To be in his presence.
To seek to please him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that those are all good. I was thinking of to seek his favor, which goes along with that. You know, if you're talking to somebody, don't you look at their face to try to read them?
You know, I think it begins where he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added.
Yes. That's right.
And I think Solomon in the beginning was a good example.
Mm-hmm.
At the dedication of the temple, he requested of God the wisdom to govern so great a people because he told him that unequipped to be the king of Israel.
Yep.
And God so much enjoyed his prayer that he gave him wealth and wisdom, everything else. Only I often wonder, with all that wisdom he had, how could he have married so many women and concubines? He wasn't as smart after all.
I'll amen that. Yes.
I think the song will take me past the other courts. It's leaving all these things behind. The priests seek your praise, your praise. A hunger that
Yep.
Take me into the Holy Ghost. Take me there, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Jody? Amen. Amen. Bill?
I hope you don't get the trouble saying that. To me, I don't care anymore wherever you go. 99.9% of men sin when they go up, when they go outside. Why I say that? Go to the grocery store. What do you see? You know what I'm talking about? What do you see?
Mm-hmm.
Women half dressed, right? Well, I got I don't know. I don't. And what do I do? Lord, forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
You turn your head, there's another. So I.
Yeah.
And we're talking about getting our mind on the Lord, keeping it on the Lord.
Right. To be singly minded is, it's difficult, isn't it? You know, Job made a covenant with his eyes. He said, why then should I look upon a maid? But everywhere you turn today, you've got that look. Yeah. It's a sad part of our culture. I actually think it's a sign of the end times. I really do. Anyone else? Good thoughts. I appreciate it. Third thing is to love God with all your soul. How do you do that? How do you love God with your soul? You know what your soul is? Your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. So how can you love God with your soul? Isn't it true that You we use this expression, fall in love. But isn't it true that you grow in love the more you get to know a person? Could your mind, we don't want to just toss our mind out when it comes to loving somebody. The more you know them and understand them, the more you can love them. They say that the number one complaint about wives, about their husbands, is that they don't understand them. They just don't understand me. I don't know, guys, if your wife has ever said that to you or not. Mine has. So what do? We need to study them. We need to know them. We need to understand them. Peter says that we are to dwell with our wives according to knowledge, right? So if we want to love God, we have to get to know him and understand him and live with him according to knowledge as well. So that's just part of it, Bob, and then Joan.
Sometimes we approach the subject in different ways concerning our relationship with the Lord. But I've come to the conclusion over the last years that we must know him and worship him in his fullness. That it isn't just a matter of some being around the world as we were talking about. Christ, who is near us and with us and exists, and we need to know him.
Yes.
In all of us.
Yes. And I think the more you get to know of God, the greater your love for him will be.
Yeah.
Joan?
For me, about the soul lusts after, and there's many material things that my soul lusts after. It used to be, I had to go to prisons of the heart to see what they had there. I could not bypass them, so I could not. It was not in me to do that. And there's other
Okay, so actually I think what Joan is talking about here is loving God with the will.
Yeah.
You know, wanting to do something but knowing that God doesn't want her to do that, she surrenders her will to him, and that's demonstrating love. Dad?
Deb and I have tested each other for 30 years, and we have this little thing going. At any time, she can say to me, or I can say to her, what song do you have? And we sing it immediately. And that's something that keeps our hearts and our minds focused on Christ. There's always, you know, at any time, during the day,
cool.
So
cool.
It's just a little different way of keeping our mind stayed on Jesus.
Amen. Amen. You know what? After you've been married a few years, you just kind of look at each other and you know you're thinking the same thoughts.
Amen.
You know, are you thinking what I'm thinking? Yeah. It's kind of neat how that works. The longer we are in our relationship with God, we think his thoughts after him. That's what the psalmist talked about. Was there another hand up? Did I see one? Okay, how do you love God with all your emotions? Your mind, your will, your emotions. Do you always feel like doing the right thing? Do you always feel like praying? Do you always feel like reading your Bible? Don't always feel that way, do you? But you love God, so you put him first. And then, you know, a lot of times, like David said, I will praise the Lord. And when he expressed his desire to do so and his will to do so, then pretty soon the emotions followed. And he enjoyed then praising the Lord, would be able to burst out in new song. Whenever I feel my soul strain from the Lord and just don't have the delight that I should have, you know, what I do is I go to the Psalms. The Psalms are just such a place for me to restore my soul. And one of my favorite Psalms, Psalm 25, I will just express that back to the Lord, especially verses 1 and 2. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul? How's it go? I will trust in thee. I will not be ashamed. Let mine enemies triumph over me. I can usually do it better if I sing it, sing the song that goes with it. But unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. And when we lift up the soul, then he is able to restore the soul. Psalm 23 says, he restoreth my soul. Loving God with all of our souls means that we love his word, delight in making it a part of our mind, will, and emotions. James instructs us to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. James 1:21. Fourth thing that we can do to carry out this command of loving God is to love God with all your mind. Interesting to me that he would mention that we are to love God with all of our soul, and then he would specifically mention mind, even though mind is part of the soul. Any idea why God would do that? Why the Holy Spirit would word it that way?
That's a very active part of your soul.
Your mind is, right. It's a very active part. It's probably the controlling part, right? The mind. Yeah.
So much of the spiritual battle occurs in the mind. We have to direct our will to think on heavenly things, not the earthly.
Yeah, I agree. The battleground is the mind of man. It really is. God's putting his thoughts in there. Satan tries to intrude with his thoughts. That's why we have to take those thoughts captive, make them obedient to Christ. Ruth? That's good. also said he would keep us in perfect peace if our mind is stayed upon him. So, Bill.
I guess I should have been a songwriter, not writing. Isn't it great to be going down the road, you're by yourself, nothing's going on, all of a sudden, you start singing a song, you've never heard a song before in your life. You start singing to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And then you throw your hands up. What's wrong? I've caught myself doing that, but you know, it's great. It's just a heart-wrenching thing.
Yep.
The heart warmth.
Yep. Amen. So if you pass a Walmart truck and you see the driver has his hands up, not on the wheel, you know it's Bill. But if you know it's Bill, you know that he's got angels driving, so you're okay. Very good. So if God is not in our thoughts, then the tendency is to give in to the carnal thoughts that come our way. And even the thoughts that Satan can put into our minds. You know, and those things that are just, even if it's not Satan, those things are just a part of the old nature. That's why we have to keep God in all of our thoughts. And Paul said, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So we want to have the right mind. You know, so somebody might ask you, though, and I think Ruth touched on this here, but, you know, how can I think about God all the day long and still get my work done? How can I think about God and still accomplish what I want to accomplish? That's the question. Doesn't it mean I just sit down here and think about God all day long and do nothing? Ma?
What I have found is that if my mind is stayed on the Lord, the work gets done and I don't even realize it.
Hmm.
Or, you know, even the same with driving. If your mind is stayed on the Lord, you suddenly arrive at where you were going and you don't remember anything in between. And it's really a great way to do your work.
But I've kind of done that too, and then I've wondered if I passed my exit or not. Where am I? Bob and then Dean. We'll take you in order there.
He was provoking grace and his way of life. And I always thought about this guy, the plow.
That's a great. Was that R.G. Laternal?
It was not.
Was not. Okay. He's a Christian. He was a Christian too. I knew. Yeah.
I got acquainted with him too. Yes, great man.
That's neat. That's a great story. That's just a perfect example of somebody who has their mind on Scripture, and how it can just lead them. That's great. Dean.
Pastor, when I was 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, I used to sing a song maybe a couple times a week, and the title was Jesus, Lover of My Soul. So that tells me Jesus loved my soul.
Yeah, very good.
And we all know that Jesus wants us to live like Him. So He gives us the power
Dean.
I just want to, you know, it's, for me, it's the purpose in my heart to do everything in my head. Even if I don't feel like doing it, do it to the Lord.
Sure.
He's going to reward me.
Yes. Yep. You know, to answer this question further, you can think about more than one thing at a time. And I think that if you seek to relate what's happening in your life, everything that happens, you relate that to the truth of God's word, then you're obeying this command. You are keeping your mind upon Christ continually. Marion?
I remember a scripture that says, whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly with all your might unto the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
As she cleans the house and washes the dishes and changes diapers, as unto the Lord, she is a servant. And as Christians, we are called to be servants, not to lord it over people.
Mm-hmm.
So as a housewife, while your wife has a very big household, serving a number of children and other people
mm-hmm.
with all her heart unto the Lord.
Yep. Very good.
Not necessarily a pastor or a piano song leader.
Mm-hmm.
Every vocation, even the mechanic who is fixing a car.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Fifth thing we can do, love to be in God's presence. You know, I think loving God with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength is contagious. I think it's attractive. It attracts people to the light and to God's love. So we can attract people to the Lord by demonstrating our love for Him. And all we need is a few people to love the Lord and have a burning love for Him in their soul. And that spreads throughout the church, throughout the congregation. Jesus delighted in God's presence. He's our supreme example. He got up a great while before day to commune with His Father. Did nothing apart from the will of His Heavenly Father. He knew the Word of God.
He used Scripture to defeat Satan's temptations. He worshiped God by singing. He taught others about the kingdom of God wherever he went. He used every crisis as an opportunity to demonstrate God's power. So I think you, as well as me, we want to live in God's presence. We just want to stay there. We want him involved in all of our thoughts and words and actions. He did. So we got to let the Lord serve us, and then we can serve others. The sixth thing, love God by delighting in his words. In her mind, the young man was handsome, strong, wise, and everything she had ever dreamed of having in a husband. Words cannot describe the joy she felt when he asked her to marry him. But then war broke out. He was drafted into the army and sent overseas. Before leaving, he promised that they would be married as soon as he returned. The longer he was away, the more her love for him increased. Every day she longed to hear from him and anxiously waited for letters from him. When one arrived, she put everything else aside and read every word he had written. Once was not enough, though, and she read his words several more times. She pictured him talking to her and remembered all the times they had enjoyed together. Every letter was a treasure. Do you know that the words of Jesus are love letters to us? That we need to treasure them, and we need to read them over and over and over again. And that's what it means to, and then we need to delight in those words, just to take joy in the words that he has spoke to us. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The Apostle John affirms this when he says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous or burdensome. And I think Christ commands our practical ways that we can demonstrate our love to him, but also demonstrate our love to one another. And the last thing is to love God by feeding his sheep. You know, when Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yeah, I love you. Jesus gave him further instruction. He said, then feed my sheep. You know that this is not a job just for the pastor, the Sunday school teachers. It's a job, I think, for every Christian to be able to feed other Christians, to be able to feed the Lord's sheep. You have to know how to feed yourself, but then you also have to know how to feed others. Every Christian should be skillful in the Word of God, should be able to explain its truths with clarity, should be able to give insight to other people. And again, I just love it. My favorite topic is the Word of God. And just to be able to sit down and talk about it and learn from each other what insights God has shown. So I would just encourage you to demonstrate your love to God by feeding his sheep, by having a word. You know, when God speaks to you, share that word with somebody else. Not only will your faith grow, but their faith will grow as well. So, any further comments? Well, how about a song? What song would you like to sing about loving God tonight? Joan, you got a song? Or you?
I got this song from Joey Inlow. I believe it's
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Pastor Kelly? Worship team?